And welcome to the hearing. I'm John.
And from Chicago's North Side, I am Scotto.
And before we get to this week's album, since this is the first episode of June, just want to wish everybody a happy Pride. And while listening to this album, I realized adult contemporary sort of disappeared.
Yeah, no one...
There's no pop music for people over 30 anymore.
I think... You could say it died in the 90s, I think.
Yeah, I remember it being a big thing in the 80s. And maybe in the 90s, like Celine Dion, maybe.
Yes.
You know, Shania Twain.
Mm-hmm.
But then it
somewhere
really
along the way, nobody wanted to be associated with older people.
Yeah.
And old people didn't want to be, you know, seen as old people anymore.
I mean, pop has always been marketed primarily to teenage girls. But
yeah, but there was always like a weird, you know, peaches and herb kind of thing going on.
Starting
that not.
Actually, I would say it goes back to the beginnings of pop music with Sinatra and them, with the big band singers. It always had an older audience.
Yeah.
Until somewhere in the 90s when they just decided to focus exclusively on the kids. And
right.
I gotta say, as someone who's middle-aged, I kind of wish it still existed. Maybe at this point I'd like it, because this album really surprised me. And that album is from 1984, Private Dancer by Tina Turner. Of course, this is our tribute to the late, great Tina Turner. Tina Turner, a.k.a. the Queen of Rock and Roll, was an American-born Swiss singer, naturalized Swiss citizen, dancer and actor who was best known for her gravelly voice, her iconic dance moves, and her well-publicized history with her ex-husband Ike. Private Dancer is Tina Turner's fifth solo album. After several challenging years of going solo after divorcing Turner, Private Dancer propelled Tina into becoming a viable solo star as well as one of the most marketable crossover singers in the recording industry. Private Dancer was released on May 29th, 1984. We got as close as possible to the anniversary. Interesting. On Capitol Records, produced by Terry Britton, Carter, Leon Ndugu Chancellor, Wilton Felder, Rupert Hine, Joe Sample, Greg Walsh, and Martin Ware. Yes, a proper pop album with a ton of producers.
Yes.
And features Tina Turner on lead and background vocals, and a long list of session musicians. Check Wikipedia. Three notable ones, though. Cy Curnin, background vocals on track 1 and 7, Jamie Westorum on guitar, and it says track 1 and 7, I think it was track 1 and 5, because I don't hear any guitar on track 7.
It's very strange, the track listing on this. It varied depending on where you got it.
Yeah, true, maybe that was original. No, because I know the two songs Cy Curnin is on. I love the fix. Cy Curnin's voice and Jamie Westorum's guitar playing are very recognizable to me. Jamie Westorum's one of my favorite guitar players. He's the iconic new wave guitarist for me. I think he was on one of the earlier songs, track 5. And finally, of course, the late great Jeff Beck guitar on tracks 8 and 9.
Yeah. And she pretty much has Dire Straits backing her up on
the
a couple
bassist,
tracks.
John Isley. From
oh,
Dire
it's more
Straits.
Than just that. There,
was it?
There were a few members.
Okay, I just only noticed
playing along.
John Isley, their bassist, plays on one track. Mark Knopfler wrote one of the songs, one of the singles.
I'm trying to think of which track it was. Now I have it written down. Like it was like the Dire Straits were her backing band. It was Better Be Good to Me.
Interesting, because that's the one I think Jamie plays on.
So you got John Isley, Hal Lind's. Who else? It is just like
interesting. Reminder: I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons. But on our blog at johnscotto.com, you'll find links to Private Dancer on Spotify and YouTube, so you can follow along if you'd like. And this time, I do mean if you'd like.
You should have been like with AW, whatever, you know.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, last week I should have said no, don't. Track 1, I Might Have Been Queen. Great groove on this one. Love the guitar sounds. Again, Jamie Westorum, one of my favorites. Great bass tone. Good melody. I like how the arrangement pulls back in the bridge, and there's some good harmonies toward the end with Cy.
it's a great song. I mean, it's kind of like a whoa, what am I in for here? To pull back the curtain a little bit, I did not think we should have done this album. Like, remember, I was like,
I
should
figured this is our iconic crossover comeback album. It only makes sense. You were against it until you saw a Bowie cover
Yeah,
and an Al Green cover.
it hinted that there was more to this than just the next song,
Going in, I knew
but
three songs from this one, and I
that's
liked one
true.
of them.
But yeah, I was not expecting this sound when she to start, you know,
She went
and
new
it's,
wave.
yeah, there's a couple songs where she goes new wave. It's her and the Fix pretty much. And
And
I
Dire
mean, this one's
Straits.
great. That's right, Dire Straits.
Because I'm pretty sure Better Be Good to Me is Dire Straits and Jamie Westorm from The Fix.
I would have liked this one. I think the only problem I had with it was that there was like a super long fade out, and I wish they just went back to the chorus again because the chorus is great and end it, give it a proper ending.
Track two, What's Love Got to Do with It? Of course, one of the big singles. I'm not going to
RT.
ask about the Coward's Way Out on this one because I don't think either of us went with either of the singles.
I'm actually taking the contrarian's way and calling this my pick for weakest.
I like that flute-like synth. It's got a good groove. I love the sparse arrangement. This one I had to honestly reconsider. We heard this one literally all over the place.
Yes.
It's obviously not my favorite, but it's better than I remember.
The keyboards in the intro, kind of give an interesting hint of, atmosphere, but as it goes on, it's kind of like a, hey, there isn't much happening
It doesn't
here.
really go anywhere, but I do like that synth snare sound. I think the melody builds nicely to the chorus. The arrangement doesn't build at all, but the melody does.
I mean, it's her voice carrying this whole thing. It probably would have been better if they just did real instruments and didn't do the 80s pop thing
I
here.
do agree with that. Now that I've just talked about the arrangement, this would have been a lot better with a much more organic or simple arrangement and just let her voice do all the work, because it
Because,
really does on this.
it's funny, like the drum machine program is pretty much the same sequence that Tony Banks used on that solo album. Of his like a year or so
It's a
before
one drum.
this.
Everybody used them.
Yeah, right.
I do like the synth solo. It's very singable, very memorable. Track three, Show Some Respect. This is my pick for weakest.
Yeah, this is it's close, but it's interesting though.
That synth bass is incredibly dated.
Oh yeah.
I can't tell if the guitar is really a guitar.
Right. This was kind of like a wait, what? We're back to new wave. I mean, this is real Fix or like Tears for Fears. I don't know if it's that good though, but
The groove
it's
is good.
interesting.
Of course, it's a great vocal because it's Tina. I like the stabs in the chorus and the high synth after the chorus. There's just too much going on in the instrumental break. And the lyrics are a little silly, but the lyrics are incredibly silly on one of the big singles, so. And not the one we just reviewed. Track four, I Can't Stand the Rain, famously sampled by Missy Elliott on her probably biggest song, The Rain, Super Duper Fly. This is my pick for favorite.
Oh,
Love
wow.
it. Love that high synth riff. Great groove in that first chorus. Love those dual synth basses coming in. Great synth pad in the verse.
Yeah, it's another super new wave song.
Love how that groove develops in the first verse and those synth horn stabs in the instrumental break. It's just really interesting. That was always my favorite part of the Missy Elliott song before I ever knew this song existed. And so to find out that there's 3 minutes and 41 seconds of just that best part of that song was just thrilling.
It's like the guy that covered Rock On like 3 years after this or 4 years after this kind of
The soap opera
pretty
guy, I can't
much
remember his name.
just kind of stole this and just put Rock On over it.
Well, the original Rock On had that really interesting kind of minimalist bass line and some similar elements, but he did steal a lot of the synths from this.
I'm not sure if I entirely like it. I feel like it's something you would take a few listens to, but I'm definitely willing to give it some more listens because it is an interesting song.
Track five, Better Be Good to Me. Close second to favorite. I've always loved this one, even though it was one of the biggest singles that got played everywhere. Love that nice tense opening. Love all of the guitars. I'm pretty sure it's Jamie Westorum. Good groove. That chorus riff is just, guitar riff is just brilliant. So iconic. Love that soft vocal in verse two. When Tina goes soft, it's amazing because we expect her to be big and loud. But she goes soft and it's very Eartha Kitt, who I think was probably a big influence on her.
And a lot of this, there's a lot of James Brown in this too for her. Like going from new wave to this though, this is more like a U2 song, you know, or
Good
just a
U2.
straight up, well, you know, it's 84 U2 kind of, you know, thinking that. But, you know,
When they were
it's
good.
right. But totally Dire Straits. It's straight up rock
Yeah.
in the middle of like new wave, and you had a little adult contemporary earlier on.
I'm surprised, speaking of rock, because she did a few rock songs. She did, you know,
Oh,
Beast of
yeah.
Burden with the Stones. And I'm surprised the one she did with Bryan Adams wasn't on this one. It's Only Love. I think that might have been on one of his albums.
It's yeah, it was like a beast or like in the
Yeah,
kind
it is a
of
B-side.
anthology stuff. But
But
yeah,
with Better Be Good
yeah, I
to
think it
Me,
was Bryan Adams.
I love the percussion break and all of that lead bass in the bridge. Like I said, close second to favorite, but Can't Stop the Rain just was intriguing.
I don't think she needed the call and response kind of thing in here because, of course, there's no response because you're in a studio. I think save that for like a live
Well, I
version.
think it was written in for a live version,
Well,
and
yeah, of
you know,
course.
they just decided to write it in instead of saving it. Track six, Let's Stay Together, Al Green cover. Of
The
course, the Al
balls
Green
to
version is
cover this,
iconic.
you know?
What?
The balls to cover this. Who
Yeah,
could
because
do
that
this?
original is just an absolute masterpiece. Nice soft opening,
Yeah.
gets right to the vocal.
It's
It's
just like the original.
pretty faithful to the original. Love when those congas come in. Good groove when the band comes in. Some great harmonies. Love the rhythm guitar. Like the rambly synth, but the solo, but I think it maybe comes in a little too early.
I wasn't an entirely fan of the backing vocals from The Fix here.
Well,
They
no,
get
Psy isn't
over.
on this one.
He isn't on this? It
No,
sounded like
it's the
him.
next one. The synth horns are also a little iffy. It was the 80s. It was 84.
Well,
This is
yeah.
the year they were trying to cram synthesizers into everything
I
because
mean,
they were new.
she's always been, or she was always fearless with covers. And of course, the next track will explain that more. But before this, I mean, you know, the Acid Queen, you know,
Proud
and the
Mary.
Who, and yeah, Proud Mary.
I mean, what she did with Proud Mary reinvented it and is arguably better than the Creedence version.
Well, yeah, I mean, Fogerty even knew it, you know. It's just like, what, you know, what do you do with that?
I mean, I love both versions, but if I have to pick, I think I'm going with Tina.
Well, the Creedence version, you do feel like you are floating down a river. You are literally on that boat,
I
just
think,
kind of wondering what the fuck you're
you
going to
know,
do with your life.
because Fogerty wrote it, I think his version captures the meaning of the lyrics better.
Her version, we're going to get up and fucking do this. We are just going to keep going. You know, we're going to keep moving and get shit done.
Speaking of improving a song, possibly track 7, 1984, this is a David Bowie cover. I'd never heard the Bowie cover until tonight. I listened to it right before this one. That synth percussion at the beginning, very dated, but pretty faithful to the original.
Yes, very, very crazy. You know, just like the Fix background vocals work here.
Absolutely.
And you could tell, you know, they wanted to do it, and pretty ballsy to do this song in 1984, the climate that was there.
I think Psy was very influenced by Bowie.
Now, just to explain, this is from Diamond Dogs, which was Bowie's failed attempt at doing a musical version of the book 1984, and it was only
He's
failed.
not talking about the actual year 84, he's talking about the Orwell book.
Right.
And it's very clear in the lyrics.
The only failure was that, you know, Orwell's spouse surviving spouse would not let him do it. But he did still release this as an album, and yeah, I wish he'd done the full fucking album, honestly. Holy shit, that would have been good.
I feel like the Bowie version, again, hearing it for the first time tonight, he was really trying to go Shaft.
Yes, he was, and it comes from out of nowhere on the album. That album has like Rubble Rebel. I mean, it's such a ride, that album. And then it gets to like this kind of proggy ending where it with about Big Brother and stuff. And just the political statements that he's making in 74 are just like, whoa.
Back to the Tina version. I like
Yes.
that descending piano part in the intro. It's the only piano you hear in the entire song. It's just this really nice, fast descending line. Good groove once the verse kicks in. Some great harmonies. I can definitely hear Psy in the verse and in verse two and
Yeah.
in the bridge. Again, no noticeable guitar, so I think it was Jamie on Better Be Good to Me.
Yeah, this would have probably been a pick for me. Well, no, I think the Better Be Good to Me was my pick for second strongest, but
Was
this
this
was.
your strongest?
No.
Have we got to your strongest?
We have not.
That's surprising. Wow. Track 8, Steel Claw.
This is my pick for strongest.
Okay,
This
interesting. This is kind of my second weakest.
I
Or third
mean,
weakest, arguably.
this could fit in on an AC/DC album. This is so fucking out there.
That opening, though, it's very Proud Mary. It feels a little
Yeah.
Huey Lewis to me.
I mean, it's 84.
Yeah.
But actually, Huey wasn't,
Were they not a thing yet? Were they not doing this yet, I should say?
I think he was
I mean, they
maybe
hadn't
around the
gotten
same
annoying yet.
time.
Sports was 85.
Sports is 85. Why did I think it was even earlier than that?
I
But yeah,
think
so yeah.
I'm 90% sure Sports was 85, but they had done
Well,
an
then
album or two before this.
this predates it then, you know,
Yeah, I'm pretty
because
sure.
nobody knew who Huey Lewis was before Sports.
But no, I mean, he did a couple of albums before then, and like, Do You Believe in Love was a single before then. So, but
Yeah,
they
but it
weren't
wasn't
quite
big.
doing the big, big horn thing yet.
Right.
I think she was more drawing on Proud Mary.
Yeah.
Good groove. I like the rhythm guitar tone. Good harmonies in the chorus. I like how clipped she is at the end of the chorus. She just screams that line.
Her and Jeff Beck, though, holy
She
shit, why didn't she work
introduces
more with him?
Beck before he takes this amazing solo.
Yes.
Like it's a live version.
Just fucking killer. I
Yeah.
mean, and just totally the opposite of what I was expecting when getting into this album. Like, if you told me, oh yeah, she's gonna get, she has Jeff Beck and just gonna fucking, I would have thought you're crazy.
And Beck has been an icon for me since I started playing.
Yeah.
I fingerpick because Jeff Beck fingerpicked. I've been playing for almost 40 years. The more experience I get, the more I understand how he did what he did, but also the more it mystifies me.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't his gear, it wasn't necessarily just the fingerpicking, it was 95% just his hands and his touch were just perfect. His touch on the vibrato bar, and I will use that word properly instead of tremolo, guitar players will get me. It's a bar that raises and lowers the pitch of the strings. You've probably seen them on guitars. His touch on that is so much of his playing, and it is so subtle and perfect. I think he got better as he got older. Check out his later stuff with Tal Wilkenfeld. And on to the second track he played on, track 9, Private Dancer, written by Mark Knopfler, as I mentioned earlier.
Which is weird that they didn't have Dire Straits playing this one,
On the Mark
you know?
Knopfler song, because it
Right.
does feel like something they, lyrics aside, it feels like something they could have done.
This like it's totally the same narrative as Sultans of Swing, you know?
Yeah.
It's you could almost hear Knopfler singing this
Yeah. I
himself.
mean, except it's written for a woman to sing.
He wisely decided, well, let's have a woman sing it since it's a woman's point of view.
Nice moody opening. I love the overall arrangement of the whole song. Of course, the lead guitar is incredible. I like how tasteful that kick is and the little bit of saxophone. great bass tone. The lyrics, I say, are meh. And I typically like Mark Knopfler's lyrics, you know, other F word aside.
But he was using it. I mean, you weren't
Yeah,
supposed to be
it was
like,
in
well,
character,
that's a
yeah.
cool guy saying that, you know?
Yeah.
It's like this loser
Right, fair point,
calling
fair point.
these people that are millionaires the other F
But,
word.
right. But the lyrics in this kind of eh, and I've always thought so, even back in the day. Love that little sting of rhythm guitar in the bridge. Great sax solo. Of course, brilliant guitar solo. And those little bits of Hammond organ during the solo, I love.
I think I disagree with you about the lyrics, honestly,
Really?
because
Okay. I'm very high there.
it's the story, you know? I mean, she's got the character. It's this
She performs it beautifully.
critique of the capitalist system, you know, exchanging her only commodity for, you know, the money, her body,
Okay.
and the music just follows it too, you know? She's not really wanting to do this. But you know, she's got dreams and hopes she can, you know,
Yeah.
change this for that slice of heaven that we're all promised kind of thing.
And again, coming from a perspective of 39 years later, knowing some former, well, one kind of former, and you know, some other former sex workers, it's kind of a cliche, you know, I didn't want to do this story, which is a little damaging to sex workers. A lot of them really do want to do it.
Sure,
Again,
but how
you
many?
know, nearly 40 years later perspective.
But how many people did just
Yeah.
kind of do this, you know, because it was, you know, the money was just too seductive,
Sure,
and you
correct.
know, the music just following along with it. It gets to that climax and everything, and then it kind of, the music just keeps going and leaves her behind in a way, which is kind of jarring on this album because she's just so powerful. But it
I'm definitely
rides
gonna have to
out
take another
without her.
listen.
You know,
Yeah.
it's almost proggy the whole song because it's a 7 minute thing. I'm like, I can't believe
Oh,
this is like
wow.
a 7 minute, you know, song. We must have heard like a single version
I have that in my notes and
back
I
in the
didn't
day.
even notice. They definitely cut out the sax solo in the radio version and cut out the ending quite a bit. And
Yeah.
probably the beginning.
So, I mean, she gets into this routine where she's just kind of going through the motions here, and the routine just kind of eats her up, and she's kind of lost in the end trying to keep up with it.
I know they cut out that sax solo in the radio version because it came in and I'm like, why do I remember a guitar solo on this? And then the guitar solo happened. So do you recommend it?
I completely surprised, thinking we were going to get a lot of what's love got to do with it kind of songs, and so happy that we didn't.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. A lot of the production is pretty dated, but you know, it's for me, it's very nostalgic. I never gave this album a chance back in the day because I was too young for it. See our discussion earlier. And the singles were just so fucking overplayed.
You know, it's funny though. I'd say this is more prog than like the stuff we did from Asia
Yeah,
and Anderson et
definitely.
al.
So, you know, despite the unfortunate circumstances, I'm glad we reviewed it so I had a chance to give it a chance.
Right. This and like Gordon Lightfoot, they were
Yeah.
just like so surprising,
Right,
kind
same
of,
deal.
you know?
But I was open to being surprised by Gordon Lightfoot because I really knew nothing about him. This one really blew away my expectations.
They were kind of both of like, should we really do this? Are we gonna like shit on somebody's work, you know,
Yeah.
for a tribute episode? And then it
Weird
was
thing
like,
is,
oh.
we loved this at most of this album, you know, weakest aside. But we didn't really talk much about Tina. I mean, I think we just took it as read that she was an amazing vocalist.
Right.
You know.
And that last one, she, you know, has the character
Yeah.
that she plays.
She was, and this is, I think I'm just going to take a moment to heap praise on the late great Tina Turner because we kind of glossed over it for a lot during the review. She, of course, technically was amazing. She could soar. But she was that rare combination of someone who was technically brilliant and a great actor singer.
And she did it for the song.
Yeah.
Like, the exact opposite of what we saw with Wakeman
right.
last week, who was showing off, and like, there was a song to do this in, and he was just forgetting about that, where everything she did was for the song.
Yeah, and she wasn't like a lot of diva types who just run all over the place.
Yeah.
She could do that, and she did, but she placed them right.
Oh, yeah.
And she always served the emotion of the song and the character.
I kind of wish she'd covered AC/DC.
Oh, God.
Because that Steel Claw song, I could totally... I want to hear AC/DC cover it, actually.
I need to look more into her catalog to see if she did more rock, because she flirted with rock in the 80s.
She did. I'm trying to remember some... There were, like, on the playlist of Unoriginality, I'd put her in for a few times. They were just like, wait, she did that? And yeah, I did not know she did 1984.
Yeah. One more thing I will share, because it was around this time with regard to Tina Turner. It was one of the songs from Thunderdome. I think it was We Don't Need Another Hero.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't We Don't Need Another Hero. It was the other single from Thunderdome, whatever it was called.
I don't remember another single from Thunderdome.
The video showed her, you know, in costume, playing guitar. And of course, it was this pointy 80s metal guitar. As far as I know, she didn't play guitar. She just mimed it for the video. Because 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Bowie at the end of the Let's Dance video of him playing.
No, he did play sax, I think.
He's not even playing guitar. He's just there with the guitar. And it's during, like, Stevie Ray Vaughan's solo.
Oh, okay. Oh, right, right. Like, I remember that. I'm thinking Modern Love, he played sax.
You are not playing that guitar solo, motherfucker.
I mean, Bowie was a decent guitar player. I think.
Oh, yeah, he could play guitar. He played with Tin Machine.
Yeah. I think it might have been Diamond Dogs that he played all the guitar on.
Oh, I don't know.
There was one of his albums. Stuff. I'm not sure which one. I think it was Rebel Rebel. He played all the guitar.
Hmm.
So he was a decent guitar player. But yeah, Tina, who probably never touched a guitar. Well, she probably maybe dabbled a little bit because Ike was a guitar player.
Yeah, who knows?
But, you know, just it was funny to see her playing this like palm muted guitar part in a video when clearly she didn't play. Anyway, she was, you know, an incredible singer, incredible performer.
Yeah.
And one of the absolute greats of all time. Definitely the queen of rock and roll. Rest in peace, Tina. And that's it for Private Dancer. Until next time, when we'll be reviewing Stuck in Wonderama Land by Dramarama. Been looking forward to getting to these guys. One of the great forgotten Jersey bands.
Yeah. Yeah, I even forget about them every now and again. I'm like, oh yeah.
I've been a fan all along of not as much as the Smithereens. I kind of see a hierarchy in that sense. Like, Smithereens had a couple of big hits.
Yeah.
These guys were kind of the next most forgotten. The Smithereens were largely forgotten. If you're not from Jersey, you probably don't remember the Smithereens.
Oh, man, that's a shame. I can't imagine somebody forgetting about Smithereens.
Dramarama were just a bit more forgotten, though they had a couple of big songs.
Yeah.
And then there was the Whirling Dervishes, who were only vaguely remembered for Your Mean One, Mr. Grinch. Even though they did one great album... Unfortunately, it's hard to find. They're called Strange and Wonderful. There are a couple of singles on YouTube. Check that out if you get a chance. Anyway, we'll be reviewing Dramarama next time. Until then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.